If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to begin reading out of the book of Jeremiah. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful time to be a Christian, because while the enemy is on his way in, we're heading on our way out. And that's exciting to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so glad and thrilled for all of you that are here with us tonight. It is wonderful to see the assembly of God's people, but even more than number, it's wonderful to see the presence of God being moved in people. And for those of you that have come and prayed tonight, the key to what you felt and what you take away is to stick with it and keep going. God wants to establish you. And the more that you continue in what you feel in God, the more established you become. So I encourage you to keep going. Because one day it'll turn to a week, brother. Then a few weeks turns to months, and then before you know it, you'll be one of these people that says, I've been delivered for 20 years and have a reason to keep holding on. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to read out of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to read a few verses, not many. I first off want to be considerate of his presence and how he's moving, and then we'll be considerate of the time after it lifts. But I want his will done. Not ours. I want his done. Bless the Lord. We'll go ahead and read from verse 14 through to verse 18 in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. If you're there, say amen. All right, let's begin. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope, say my hope, in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed. But let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be in your presence. God, and tonight I'm here to give of myself as if it were my last. And God, I pray that in this moment that you anoint your word, anoint your messenger to let this be all of you and none of us, Lord. For God, there are people here tonight that are broken. There are people here tonight, God, that are hurting. And Lord, I am here for them. God, and I believe with all that is in me that you have sent people here tonight to receive a revelation. And God, I believe with the anointing that is stirring within my heart that you're going to give it to them as we deliver this message unto your people. And God, right now, I rebuke the hand of the enemy. I bind against the devices of Satan. I bind against the power of darkness that would come against your word. And God, I pray that you will loosen the attention of your people. God, I pray that you loosen the zeal and desire to listen. And God, I pray above all that you give us the boldness to do it and obey you. God, I believe, Lord, oh, how you're moving in this place. And God, I pray that your fire continue to be kindled in your people, and that, Lord, that your anointing begin to stir up inside of them, that overflow begin to take place in their life. Lord, help us to stop settling for living with so little, but help us, God, to believe by faith that greater is in store. God, we honor you and praise you. We're so thankful for some, Lord, that couldn't have been here the past couple weeks that are here tonight. The Lord wanted me to acknowledge them. God, I believe, Lord, that you are giving healing into their bodies and their lives as they go out of here. And God, I pray right now that surely that your anointing stir your people. I want you right now, church, to take 30 seconds. Just close your eyes and just begin to thank him. Come on, let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Father, we believe, Lord, that you're moving in this way. Somebody needs a touch from God. God, I believe, Lord, that as we call out to you this night that surely you're moving in the bodies of those that need healing. God, surely you're moving in the lives of children that we're standing in the gap for. And God, I believe not now that the power of darkness has no hold on the children of God, for we are the children of victory. Lord, I know, God, that things are hurting and broken, but I believe, Lord, that you are a God that heals us and helps us. And I know, Lord, that you're establishing some that have come tonight. And I pray you give them that motivation to get back here again and to desire more of you. Oh, if you believe and agree, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. As we read tonight out of the chapter, we're reading about the words of a person by the name of Jeremiah. It's not only the name of the book, it's about who it's about. Jeremiah the prophet was the last prophet that God sent to try to speak to the children of Israel before it was too late. There had been repeated attempts to try to get them out of just going through religion. There had been multiple attempts through prophets that had come before him that tried to reach out to this people before it was too late. But God was beginning to get fed up with the way that they were rejecting him. The people were beginning to think that everything that they did on their own was how that they were being blessed. Little did they know that it was God's love and mercy and grace upon them that was causing them to be blessed. But God sent one last prophet unto this people to give them an opportunity to change and shake up their situation so that they could grow and move on from sin. When I consider the individual by the name of Jeremiah, you may read or know him as the weeping prophet. And some may think that he wept only for the fact of what God sent him to speak to the people. But he not only wept for what he was speaking to them, but what grieved his heart was the fact that even when he was giving the word, that they were not receiving the word. And that was the people that he had grew up with all of his life. It was the people that he had been up around since he was called around the age of 17. He was a person that followed what the Lord told him to. The Lord spoke to him a couple chapters back and even had him to not even be able to get married and have children. This was how close that he wanted this prophet to be, because all the things that he was going to begin to speak over this people was the destruction of their children and the things that were around them. So why would God want someone to bring up children in a time when he's going to speak over something and it be destroyed? So he was essentially protecting him from greater harm of what was to come. So he was sending him out to give a word unto the people. And we're reading about what they call the third lament. This was his estate of his heart after he had cried out and did all that the Lord had set him out to do. And he did not want to be in the place where when the wrath came as a result of them being warned, that he would be a part of the destruction that would be upon them. Had to say all that to get where I'm going. Let me read that same scripture that we read tonight. And this is the Message translation, because I want to bring out a specific phrase in verse 14. God, pick up the pieces. Put me back together again. You are my praise. Listen to how they talk about me. So where's this word of God? We'd like to see something happen, but it wasn't my idea to call for doomsday. I never wanted any trouble. As he begins to cry out, he wants to make sure that as he communicates to God, that he began to pick up the pieces of his life. You see, he paid a price to stand and give the word in a day when it was hard. He suffered much. I don't think that there was a moment that you can read of where that as he was giving it, that people ever came around to acknowledging that they were ever receiving it. Because let me tell you, around the time that he was giving this kind of word, that people had grew in lust. People had grew in perversion. People had grew in corruption of the law. People had grew in the way that they would sin. They grew in the gall and boldness that they had to sin. And it had got to such a degree that even when God was sending his word, that it meant nothing. Friends, I don't know if you feel it like I do, but as I stand today, I realize that we're in an age where God is beginning to get fed up with the way that the world is living. I see a world of perversion, and I see a world of corruption, and I see a boldness in people to sin, even though that they hear the word of God in some capacity. And as we sit as Christians, the world is causing us to dull our hearing to how God would preserve us. Say preserve, to preserve us in this day. For my friends, He did not save you to be the same as the world. He did not change you for to be the same as the world was. He didn't fill you with His Spirit for you to be the same as the world was. But He called you to what? Be different. To walk as a different people. To walk in a different kind of spirit. To think about things differently than what the world would have you to think about them. I'm here to tell you, friend, that as you go out and make excuses to not be in the house of God, that you're missing out on opportunities for the Word to come alive in you as you make reasons justifying yourself to sit at home and not be in His presence. I'm here to tell you, you're missing out on life and God pouring a little more in your cup. When you're not able to be here, you're not the person I'm talking to. I'm talking to the people that reason with themselves all the way up to 10 minutes before service and talk themselves out of being there because they feel like they have better things to do. We live in a corrupt society. How do you know this? Because when the devil gets offended, he works through government to change laws that we, things that Christians know are an abomination, are being told by the law that we must conform to the law, that we must accept what the law says. So God knew even back then that the first things that He gave them in the commandments of stone was not going to be enough to sustain them, because they had a copy of the Ten Commandments where they were. They knew about the commandments of God and what required them to be able to live and to be in His favor. But yet even with the knowledge of His law, it still did not mean anything. Even with the word of God being spoken through prophets, it still did not mean anything. But God did not leave them without one last chance. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that it didn't have to be that way. Oh, I'm here to tell somebody tonight that it didn't have to be that way. We read it as it happened back then, but as it was happening in the moment, it didn't have to be that way. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you don't have to continue living the same way. I'm here to preach to you right now that you don't have to accept your life as it is right now, because what God has in store for you is so much more than you could even begin to comprehend. He took my life when it was nothing but broken pieces, and He began to mold me into something that without Him I could have never been made whole. He began to change me to make me an individual that began to understand that I needed His word to preserve me, that I needed His encouragement to bring me to peace, that I need Him in my life. Somebody, if you believe it, you ought to say right now, I need Him in my life. Brother, man, I'm getting ready to get excited, but I'm trying to hold on just a second, because I want somebody to hear this warning that God's speaking over you. It does not have to be this way, but if you continue to let it be this way, I'm here to tell you, you will find destruction at your end. But think about it. They were listening to the prophetic word that was coming to destroy them. And they were having the nerve to say, where is this that you're talking about? Where is this alleged destruction that's coming? And I'm here to tell you that it hurts when you operate in obedience of something that promotes the gospel. You are going to suffer in this day. My Lord and my God, you're going to feel a little bit of pain when you stand to obey him. And just like it happens to me, you're going to get beat up all the way home, just like I do. There'll be things that you look back on and may have regrets about what you did. And the devil may try to come in and mess up everything that you have going on and are trying to do before the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that even though what you do causes your natural self to be broken, God loved us enough to take those broken pieces and to begin to put them back together. As you obey him, your pride will break from you. As you obey him, your frustration is going to break off of you. If you're in a true presence and power of God, you can't be angry. How many will testify to that? If you're under the strong anointing of God, you can't hold a grudge against anybody. So as we dwell in his presence, the things that God is trying to reprove and rebuke are beginning to break away from us, to purge us from the things that would destroy us, to rid us of sin. He saved us from it, and when it tries to come along and attack us, his presence will break apart what you don't even need. What you don't even need to have around you. But I'm here to tell you that despite pride being broken from you, you still will have a sense of pride. And there's something inside of you that you'll go through a good season. But then as soon as you start having some good things go your way. Oh, brother. Some of us grow 4 inches or so. I don't know if it's your hair. I don't know if it's the shoes you're wearing. But we start going through a good season, and we're ready to shout the house down. We're ready to dance and enjoy the Lord. We're ready to tell everybody about the blessing that we had. They want to ask you how you're doing, but they can't even say anything back about how they're doing because you're so excited and proud about what you've got going on in your life. But as pride begins to build, our mental focus to God diminishes. That's why pride cannot stay where it is the most important thing to you. I see people standing around in my subdivision. They pull their boats out onto the driveway. And they'll sit there and they'll wash it all day. And I drive by all the time and I see the boat. And I didn't see any dirt on it the day before. But they're out there working on it again. And as people walk by, then they catch them on the way on their walk, sitting there drinking a beer, trying to brag about how that they've got a good nest egg in their retirement, sitting here trying to tell other people how good that they have it. And sometimes people aren't even really interested about hearing how good that you have it, but they don't care. They're going to tell you anyway. How many of you know where we're going tonight? There's got to be something that is inside of you that when your pride about this world diminishes and you let God break it off of you, that you begin to be proud about something more than just what you've earned, that you begin to be proud about something more than just what you have done on earth. God wants you to be proud of what he has done in you. He wants you to be proud of what he has done in you. Pick up the broken pieces, God, that I will be made whole. Pick up what is something that would destroy me and make me to be somebody that can stand in these last days. You might think that you're ready for the end times with your retirement, but I'm here to tell you, when the end times come, your retirement is not going to do a thing about the destruction that is to come. Let me tell you right now, you might have good health. You might work out all the time. You might be a fit nut, as they like to call it, but let me tell you, your fitness will not compare to the destruction that will come. There's a place that without God, there will go where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You cannot reason with Satan. You cannot use what good you have on earth to represent what God is in you. So we have to stop living by our pride. A pride is a piece that God wants to break. We cannot live on our intelligence alone. That's another piece he wants us to break. Sometimes I've had to pray this, and you might think it's silly. I've had to pray before God, simplify the process, God, that I'm able to do exactly what the Word is telling me to do. Help me to not overthink this thing and be able just to come in and enjoy this thing. My God, I'm here to tell you, the devil would come to destroy you, but God would have you to have life. The enemy would want you to live in sin eternally, but God sent Jesus Christ that you could be saved and delivered. When the enemy would have had you to live the way that you were living instead of seeing anything different, God began to send something your way and say, I see a different grain of hope for you. I see a new opportunity. I see something coming that will bless you abundantly. I want you to think about trying to talk to somebody that's behind a brick wall. I want you to think about how that sometimes when we need to hear from God the most, that we're rejecting Him because we've threw up our defense and aren't even listening to what He has to say. Because sometimes what God will speak to you to do is twice as easy as what you're going to try to do on your own. You can try to hold on to your emotions. You can try to do all that you can to persuade and prove yourself to people. But sometimes if you'll just obey God, He can begin to tear down the walls that the enemy would have had to stand forever. You might think that they'll never be saved and never be changed, but you bring it to God long enough and you're going to see the walls come down. My Lord and my God, if you will be persistent in the day we live in, then you'll make a difference. I want to identify a new reality to us in this day. Are you ready? We are already against a brick wall. We don't have to wait to the day that people will reject us for serving God. They already are. We don't have to wait to the moment where Christians can't even serve together with other Christians because of their ideals. We're already facing brick walls. We don't have to wait to the day where we can assemble 1,000 people in the house of God but cannot get anything mustered up beyond 2 to 3 people. We're already living in that day. We don't have to wait until the day where you can't find an evangelist to come preach. We're already in that day. How do we know when corruption is about us? People doing things to you that they shouldn't be doing. When perversion is around us, enticing lusts to grab our attention. When there are what I like to call busybody things that come that don't mean anything to your purpose but just steal your time. There's been some things in the past 2 weeks that I have gave to God, honest to goodness, that was taking up my time. You know what I spent my day doing today? Worshiping the Lord in song, reading His word, studying, praying and meditating, letting God speak to me. And you know what? He did speak some things to me. And you know what? I'm prepared for tomorrow because I've let Him minister to me. I'm here to tell you there are busybody things going on in your life right now that if you just sit it down long enough to give God a chance, then you'd be able to have a good experience you never thought you could. We get this busybody stuff so in our spirit that we come in and we want a busybody the service to get over with. Oh, my Lord and my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. We just want people to have a good time. We're not saying don't have a good time, but we're saying don't have a good time too long because I want to get to the word. But then when you get the preacher up there, you're thinking, I want him to preach and stir me up and set me on fire, but I don't want him to preach too long because I've got other things to do. I'm here to tell somebody right now, if you didn't have God on your side, you wouldn't survive on your own. So everything else that you think you've got to do, it's not as important as what God can do. All this other stuff that is keeping our vision from seeing what He wants us to see, we need to cut some things out. I would love to come in and talk about all the things that we could do if we have the power of God. But you know what? The problem is we're not walking in the power of God. Either help me preach or I'm just going to go on. We want to come in and serve Him. We want to come in and have fun and have a good time. But the thing that keeps the power of God inside of us, we're not letting it stay inside of us because we've got too many holes in our bottle for the power of God to stay with us long enough. You mess up on Tuesday, you want to pretend like you need to not repent? I'm here to tell you every bit of that good in you is going to drain right out of you. We want to pretend it's okay to lash out. We want to pretend it's okay to have an attitude. We want to pretend like it's okay to have a grudge. And let me tell you what happens. We come in and we're full of empty bottles. I'm here to tell you that if you went to a local bar, Oh, I can't wait to say this. If you went to a local bar and somebody on a Monday poked all the holes out of the bottles that they were going to drink, and then everybody showed up expecting to drink something, but every time they tried to drink something, there was nothing in it, let me tell you, they ain't going to be back. They're not going to be back. And if our vessels are so poked and prodded with the fiery darts of the enemy, with no boldness inside of us to keep it off of us, then when God pours out in us, it goes right through us, and we don't change. I'm going to be real with you right now. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you like it is. We have a lot of vessels in this place right now that have holes in them. We have a lot of vessels in this place tonight that have holes, because I'm here to tell you that those things that we go through and that we suffer and get rejected for, those are the things that God wants to patch up and repair and heal. But without listening to instruction, we're walking around without a vessel that can hold His glory. You read in the Word of God, light and darkness, what? Have no fellowship with one another. We also read that what? Bitter and sweet waters can't dwell in the same fountain. So you cannot be walking around in bitterness and expect to be able to just speak in tongues the next minute. You can't walk around and expect that when you lay on of hands and say, be thou healed in the name of Jesus, but you've got this thing that you've not forgiven somebody for. We can't expect to walk in the power of God. Jesus didn't go and call disciples from the sophisticated. He didn't go and catch the guys that were bragging about their boats. He didn't catch the people that were bragging about their homes and their other vacation house down in the south. He didn't go after people like that. He went after fishermen. He went after people that he knew that if he could just speak it to them, that they were foolish enough to believe it. When God found me, I was nothing but a lowly drug addict. I was nothing but broken pieces. But as He spoke to me, and as His presence began to fill in me, that which would have never succeeded, would have never been anything, would have always been a failure. God, I'm preaching to somebody. That which would have been a failure forever, all the things, all my shortcomings, all the holes inside of my vessel began to be plugged up and repaired. And as the presence of God has been with me every day, little by little, as I yield to Him more, He pours into me a deeper anointing. He begins to trust me with more of His power. He begins to lend me the wisdom to be able to succeed in life. But I'm here to tell you, church, we cannot expect to get a mighty blessing until we can learn to let God patch up those things that are broken inside of our hearts. Because I'm here to tell you, God's not going to keep me preaching on the things that we need to change, because at some point, you're going to know the difference. You're going to know what to do and what you need to do, and then you need to do it. I'm just now beginning to learn that without Him, I can't hold anything. Without Him, I can't succeed in anything. Without God leading me, I'm nothing. If you're walking and you have disease in your life, I'm here to speak to you right now that God wants to heal you by faith. Your faith is the glue that holds your broken pieces together. I just felt that go to somebody. You can take what you would doubt in, and as you begin to believe by faith, it begins to be joined to make you stronger. As you begin to serve God in the fullness of His presence, you begin to be mended into a stronger individual. Today, I'm not showing up to church just because I have to. I'm showing up because I want to. And I've realized that what people see as scoldings and beatings of God are not, in fact, scoldings and beatings of God. They're tests and opportunities of growth. So I've learned to not be afraid when I hear warnings like we're hearing tonight. I'm learning not to be scared when God is trying to identify to us as a people that there are things that need to be different inside of us. We should not only strive to come to church on a weekly basis just to enjoy Him. There's a world out there that needs you. We can't just come in and get ourselves fixed from week to week. We've got to learn to let it stand and be established. There's a world out there that needs you. We've got to stop just coming in and putting all the pieces and fitting it the way that we want it to fit and expecting to stand that way, because there's people that need you to be stronger. There's people that need you to show them something.